Welcome back to the Walking Dead podcast by LSG Media. I'm Dean.
I'm Matthew.
And on this week's episode, we are talking Season 8, Episode 3, Monsters. All right, we're back. We're talking Monsters, The Walking Dead here. Monsters. Couple of monsters coming in hot and named Dean. That's me and Matthew right there. And we're going to be talking about monsters. And, you know, before the pod started, we were in the live chat and we were talking about how they used to use cool music in this show, like the Blackbird song and the Governor song when he came back and burned down the house and that montage. And then we were talking about how we used to take breaks in this show, like in the middle of a show, because we used to talk longer and now we don't talk quite as much anymore. Or if the shows are seeming a little shorter. But
what are you talking about, Dean? I'm so excited to be back talking about America's favorite TV show. That we're all I can't. If my only concern about this episode is being able to get in our talking points over the loud, satisfied cries of elation from everyone who's watching it and just enjoying it and talking enthusiastically on our Facebook pages about it. What
Dude,
are you talking about?
The positive response has been overwhelming. And I'll be honest with you, I'm really pumped about this week.
Overwhelming.
Overwhelmingly positive on the Facebook
overwhelming.
Page. Overwhelming. Overwhelming. And I am excited because this is an amazing episode. And I'll tell you what, once upon a time I used to be a scandal head, but now I'm a deadhead. Well, it doesn't work.
I think so.
Now I'm a walker head. And I think you got a couple of walker heads coming in tight. Coming in real coming tight in. And hot here.
Tight, right, so hot.
Yeah.
Fucking just bonered up.
I'm bonered up. I'm ready to go. I'm primed. I'm prepped and ready to get wet. And I'm pumped, man. So a lot of amazing things going on this week in this episode, yet again, much like last week. And we're going to dive right in to some combat that move over Band of Brothers because...
get fucked, I would even say.
You know what? I think that's a good call. I think that's a good call. Maybe
Heat, Generation Kill, you name it, all dog shit in the towering glory.
Do you remember the shootout in Sicario? Dog shit.
Crap. It's nonsense.
Any Michael Mann shootout from Heat? Shit.
Shit.
Garbage.
Just all dog water nonsense.
Dog water nonsense. So yeah, this is good. This is an auspicious beginning, as you like to say. So I'm ready.
Favorite. It's my favorite saying.
It's your favorite saying, yes. But it works. It's perfect. So let me pull my notes up here. There we go. The Walking Dead notes. Let's see.
These are going to be totally in line with the enthusiasm we are exuding right now, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me see if I can find them. I definitely took some, right? Because a lot happened. I'm pretty sure I took some Walking Dead notes. TWD Monsters.
Search your C drive.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. The Monsters. Got it. Okay, I'm ready. I'm fired up. Let me get the episode going in the background here. Got blackjack gum here.
Blackjack gum. Get ready. Gum.
Yeah, that's from Pump Up the Volume. Sorry. Christian Slater joke. Got my blackjack gum here. That's my best Christian Slater. It's not very good. Matt, I'm ready for you because you leaned on me last week and I might have disappointed you. So I'm ready to just lean on you. For the opening impressions here, because I need to know what you're thinking, what you're feeling.
My overall thoughts. I'm pretty neutral on this one. I honestly think I enjoyed last week's more than this one. I'm kind of in the middle of the road here. And there's plenty. You know what? I was going to ask you about this too. Do you wanna just front load our gripes and grimaces? Do you want to just like go down a bullet point of like, and this was shit and this was shit, and just like, let's just get those out of the way, let's just blast them, and then we'll we'll find the good as we go from there. Like, because I mean, there's boy, we I think we could each tally out a list pretty quickly. Like you were talking last week about the muzzle flashes, and I feel like that problem got worse in this episode.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how, but I feel like it did. There was a good.
It could be confirmation bias because now that I've brought it to your attention, maybe you're just seeing it more.
Oh, I mean, well, it's like what I noticed in the last episode, like when we talked about it, even when I was watching, I was like, huh, like they just the shots, like the actual muzzle flashes felt light. Like it didn't, yeah, I didn't see anybody arms rocking from recoil or anything, you know. I was like, that's what I'm noticing. And this is the time where I just noticed it even more so. It felt like there were scenes in the last episode where I felt like I could see a little more heft and recoil, and then other scenes where I didn't. And in this one, it seemed like there was like 90% no heft, no fucking ejecting of shells, which you pointed out on Facebook. And I was like, yeah, fucking true. It's kind of a little janky. I liked the setting of the actual shootout that Rick and Daryl have with the saviors coming in from the courtyard. That was a cool like hallway fight. There's a few moments in it that are a little eye-rolly, but the overall I enjoyed that. But the ground stuff again, the outside battle stuff was a little weak.
It might be easier to say what we like first.
That's good.
Sorry to say.
I don't know how you feel, but I not so much the character of Eric himself, but Aaron's performance I actually think was maybe the best of the episode. Like, yes,
wow.
Aaron, not Eric.
I know.
Yeah, fuck it. I stand by it. I liked him in this.
So hard to have tears and couldn't fucking conjure one. Couldn't conjure a tear.
Were you fucking zooming in, enhancing tears? I want the tear cam. There must be wet tears.
I was like Blade Runner, enhance.
Interlink.
I was like, I'm trying to look at his eyes. Yeah.
I like Aaron's loss here. It's like the one note of depth in this that I actually bought. And like I was saying, like, and I'm not gonna sit here and pretend I'm like, oh, Eric, it breaks my heart to see Eric die. I'm like, we saw Eric for a collective total of 30 minutes across the series. Like, I give a shit about Eric in the sense that I care that Aaron's losing somebody who's important to him. And I think Aaron, he sold that for me, man. Like, I feel bad for his character. Of any character, especially of the Alexandrians, I feel kind of the worst for him in the sense of he was an early adopter of Rick. And, like, he found him, and he kind of was trying to stand by the people he found and brought.
Didn't they give him applesauce?
Wait, what?
Wasn't he the applesauce guy?
Maybe.
I think so. Because he was scouting them out.
He was scouting them out. Yeah, he was the guy who scouted them and found them and brought them back. And so it kind of was on him to prove that Rick could get by. And he had a really hard integration into Alexandria. And he has stood by Rick and company, even though they weren't his original people, kind of through it all. And like now he's one of the people really starting to lose shit for that and really starting to kind of pay consequences for it. And that I liked. Like, I buy it because he's always been, like, a genuinely good guy. Like, and almost to a fault. Like, you could almost say he's a character that's fucking boring because he doesn't have that much conflict, have that much stuff he's doing. You know, he's not a big conflicted character like Rick. But what I like about him is that he's a very pure character in a way. And to see him lose somebody is, for me, really, really sad because I'm like, God, you really have always been, you know, a true believer for their cause, trying to do what's right, trying to stand up for Rick and all of them, even when it was not easy to do so. And Rick looked like a fucking lunatic. He's tried to stand by them and help Maggie. And he's just like a genuinely like through and through good guy. And it's like, ah, fuck, seeing him lose somebody is rough. So, I mean, I liked that. I liked that moment. It's rough for him. And it was a good performance, I think. I like what I like, bitch. I'm gonna like it.
It's called The Distance, season 5, episode 11. In the barn, baby Judah starts crying while Rick crushes acorns. Aaron, still tied to the barn support, reminds Rick that her crying will attract many walkers. He offers the applesauce.
Applesauce, bitch.
Applesauce.
Yeah, there you go. Now you know. Yeah, what do they call that in writing? You would know better than I do. A character that exists just to help you feel, help the other character feel something? Like us feel, the audience feels it for the other character.
Oh, I mean, a cipher character, I
guess? Maybe.
Ancillary character. Mm-hmm. So it's not a foil. I'm starting to run through my literary terms book again.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't want to say it was horrible. I mean, if I'm being honest with you, my judgment for The Walking Dead has been compromised. And I'm just being honest. My judgment is totally compromised on this show.
No,
it is. But I don't want to say it was awful, but it wasn't like, wow, that's amazing. Like, wow, Aaron's, wow, wow, wowee. Andrew Lincoln's like fucking head and shoulders better than everyone else in this show. And it's not even a contest.
Yeah.
No, like the acting drop off from Rick to everyone else is so palpable. Lenny James is probably the second best, and then there's just drops from there. Carol hasn't done much this season, so I'm kind of taking her out of the equation.
Right.
But even like maybe not acting, but like Ezekiel's lines are just brutal. It's fucking dude. He says
these now do whales and rogues.
Jesus Christ, dude. It's going to be great when he gets up next week and he goes, God damn, man, M2 Browning's kill people and we don't have to talk like we're at the fucking Ren Faire. Like, this is real shit. People are really dying here and we are going to lose guys and we should expect
that. And for sure, 100%, if that was an actual M2 Browning 50 cal, he would not be getting up. And those people on top of him would be shredded into fucking confetti.
In half, easily.
Are you kidding me?
Easily.
That is, I only excuse that, not because I'm excusing The Walking Dead. I'm like, that's just Hollywood movie. I don't actually understand guns bullshit. I'm like, okay, I guess. I guess you guys just think that's a gun like any other gun. Bullets hurt you, and that's all they do. They're all the same.
It's too bad because the whole premise of it's all out war, you should probably get guns right.
I know. Dude.
I mean, if you're going to use bats and swords and shit, cool, but you're using guns, so get guns right. Like, I know the muzzle flashing and in the sound of the weapons and the sound design and all that shit doesn't matter to a lot of people, but it does to me. And I can't help but express that, especially if the premise of your whole season is it's all out war. Well, if it's fucking war with guns, then get it right, man. How much money do you have? You have so much money.
That's call me crazy. Okay. I have been trying to think about, okay, what would be your actual on-set reason to not be using blanks and everything? Because, I mean, like...
Money.
Well, that's the thing. I was like, okay, is it actually cheaper to hire, to have a whole fucking post-production team who is CGing in every fucking single muzzle flash and gun smoke, doing all that shit post-production? You're paying a whole team of people to do this versus having, a master of arms on set who fucking knows their shit with guns, carefully checks all of the blanks. I imagine it's safer. Like, to me, that's actually the main benefit. You have, like, 50 people all shooting guns at each other. You up your chances of blanks malfunctioning or blanks having, pieces of material in them, and you get a whole fucking Brandon Lee situation going on. Like, that ups that risk more. But yeah, as far as money goes, I feel
again.
Like...
It'll never happen again. Right. The Crow was a definitive moment in Hollywood rules.
Totally.
As to where that would never, ever happen again. The part of... We've talked about this on the Crow episode, which we cover in the Science Fiction Film podcast. The mishandling of firearms will never happen again in that respect because of the impossibility of exactly how they did that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it has to do with dummy rounds and the charges of the shell casing, which is what the whole fucking problem was, right?
Right, right. It's like, I can imagine they want to mitigate that danger, and that's fair, and that makes sense. But at the same time, there are plenty of shots that are close up, waist up shots on one character firing in a direction that we don't see. Like, they're firing out of, outside of the screen. So they're not, it's not like, if you stage a scene, if you're doing your blocking of like, okay, we're going to have the camera behind Rick and he's going to be shooting at this guy who's approximately 15 yards away from him. For Andrew Lincoln in that scene, when they're shooting it, to actually have a gun full of blanks and be pointing it at that guy, even though he's 10, 15 yards away, that still inherently has some danger. If they're going to have him dead ahead of him and they're going to fire at him, there's a little danger to that. I could imagine that in that scene, you might not use actual blanks and be firing a gun on set that you just do, you know, post-production. But there are so many shots of them just like a character from the waist up firing to the left of the screen toward nothing that we can see. And I'm like, you could totally have a gun ejecting brass and firing blanks that looks good and looks real there. Like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
It fucking annoys me.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But
got the it's a bummer. Fucking team on Gimple, man. Gimple has a whole fucking saddle for my back at this point. I'm just carrying him around. My little fucking Gimple baby carrying case.
Robert in the chat says, I think showing results of a Browning hitting people is too gory for TV. Maybe, but they showed what's his name get his fucking head caved in.
That's it.
And guys get their guts ripped out. I mean, like, what was the guy's name? What was the guy's name who... who was in the fucking, who had the RV? Dale?
Oh, yeah.
That was like the most gruesome death in the show up till that point, right?
For sure.
Yeah, and then that was brutal. Glenn's by far, I think, is probably the worst. Like, you destroyed his face.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty fucking awful.
It's pretty fucking, I mean, it's really intense. I think if you're going to have people getting hit with a Browning, you really have to replicate the Saving Private Ryan moment when the 40 millimeter is shooting them. The Germans have that 40 Jesus. Mil.
Yeah.
And guys are just getting blown to fucking pieces. And they're like, that 40 millimeter's killing us. It's just fucking blowing
and
guys
apart. Although it's not a great movie that I would like go to lengths to defend, the final Rambo movie, the modern day Rambo one they did, there's a scene where he gets on a mounted 50 cal in there. And that's also pretty goddamn devastating.
Mm-hmm.
They did
and
that,
that's
right.
Fine. Like, look, if the gore factor is too much, then change it. Maybe it's a different gun. Maybe it's still a weapon they need, or I don't know. You know, like if the mission is we're going to send these guys in to get M2s, and at one point the M2s are going to be used on them, then understand that that should have consequences. That should be what it's supposed to be. And look, unfortunately, I care about firearms combat. I love it in movies when it's shown effectively and when it's done well. But I also think, like, if you can't do it, then don't do it. Then rewrite it. Make it not M2s, write it differently. Show it, make it something else.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
That's
it
all.
Would
That's
be like, I know it's one of those things that a lot of people wouldn't care about. It would be like watching a scene where somebody's firing like an M1 Garand and they fire to their empty and it doesn't have that pling sound. You're like, oh, it's supposed to have that pling sound. You don't have that pling. Like, you mm-hmm. gotta have it. Come on.
Right. And I'm not talking about like a Walking Dead episode where all this other shit happens and then there's a quick little shootout and they kind of flub it. I'm like, whatever. It's not the whole fucking episode. That's my point. If your whole arc, if you're going to start every episode is going to be all this combat, and you literally have Ezekiel and all his guys on their knees, waving their guns around and shooting, literally probably shooting each other in the back, I go, what the fuck is happening in this TV show? And it drives me nuts, and I feel bad, but then I don't, not that much.
But then you don't.
But then I don't. I don't really feel bad. I mean, I don't know why the decision was made to do it the way they're doing it. And I just kind of scratched my head. That's all.
Yeah.
But, so
I do feel like, you know, if you want to talk about, and this is, we're getting way into the deep of speculation here. I'm not going to pretend for a second that this is like a good working theory to imagine what's going on with The Walking Dead or why it is the way it is right now or something. But I could imagine the fact that it's based off of a comic book. I could imagine Gimple and the writers of the show, when they get backlash from the fans, interpreting that of, okay, we should really drill down even further into a comic booky style. Then I think that's what the fans want. But we got to get back to the roots, which is a comic book. And I think at times the show's sillier moments are its more comic booky moments. And that's what I was talking about last week of like, I think they maybe should have tried to adapt it further away from a comic book style rather than take so much of it on. Like a fucking dreadlocked king who speaks like he's in Shakespeare with a tiger that eats people. Yes, that sounds cool on paper, and yes, it's cool in a comic book. And in the show, it can be cool up to a point, but then at times it is hard to sit there and look at it and see him in the middle of a gun battle and a tiger eating people, and you're like, it's fucking ridiculous. Like, this is ridiculous. Come on. Like, and that's... That's, I think, them hewing too close to, well, let's keep it like the comic book. That's what we got. That's what the fans must want. And I'm like, nah, I think you're reading that wrong.
Yeah, there's some good points you're making there. So let's talk about, like, I don't know if you can say it's just like a comic book. You can just say it's just like the Walking Dead comic book, because comic books are all different, right?
Totally, yeah.
And then there's this. In a comic book, I don't need... when I draw shit, I can draw realistic shit, and it's framed by... I mean, the medium is so different. It's such a... I don't even know how to have the conversation, to be honest with you. Like, I can draw a guy holding a machine gun and write rat-tat-tat-tat-tat in a machine in a fucking comic book. And then on TV, I have to show that a certain way. And look, man, the people who like Walking Dead, who are still watching it and watching this and going, wow, cool action, they don't give a fuck what we think. They don't give a shit if we don't like muzzle flashes and gunfire and the sound of it and the way people handle firearms. How far into the fucking zombie apocalypse? You haven't learned yet how to save yourself, how to not be a fucking victim. Like, with the Alexandrians, it all makes sense. They were isolated. But the rest of these guys is no excuses. It's dumb. Yeah. But that's just my opinion, and that's why people listen, apparently, because they want to hear what we have to say about what we think. And that's just makes it... It's annoying, man. I don't love it. I don't love that part of the fucking show, right?
Yeah. And what sucks is, you know, I think I mentioned this on last week, too, of like... The broad concepts of what's going on and what they're doing, even as a team, the operations they're going on, the stuff they're trying to achieve, the whole thrust of the show right now, I'm super on board with it. Like, I love all the ideas of what we're doing. You show me this episode and the last episode, even the episode before that, as outlines on paper, I go, oh, this is fucking great. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. I like all of it. It's something in the execution, man. It's just something about the style, the execution. I don't know. I can't put my thumb on it because I'm higher on the show still than you, but yes. Like we were talking about off mic, like I am lower on the show than I have been in the past for sure. Like, I'm not gonna pretend that I'm like, ah, it's my favorite show and it's the best show on television. Everybody should be winning Emmys for it. I'm like, no, I'm not that guy. Like, I still enjoy it because it's a zombie setting and it's near and dear to my heart for that reason alone. And I'm going to be on board. But my enjoyment's definitely down, and I can't quite put my thumb on exactly why either.
Sure. I want to go back to your point about execution versus on paper. We talked at length about this on the prequel shows on the Science Fiction Film Podcast, right? Mm-hmm. And I said to you, on the surface, if I say to you, hey, look, there's this crazy trade federation, it blockades this fucking planet, they have to send these two Jedi to, like, negotiate... That these guys try to kill the fucking Jedi. It's this crazy backstab double cross thing. They have to escape during this invasion. They have to escape. Then they have to make friends with this local force to try to help them get off planet. You're like, fuck, man, that sounds amazing. And then Phantom Menace happens,
and you're like, oh shit.
Do you see what I mean? Like, so totally. On paper, I'm down. If you're saying, yeah. Rick and the guys are going after them with coordinated assaults. They're using radios. They're attacking them. They're moving tactically. Fucking Michael Mann showed up on set. He helped these guys out. And I would be, dude, I would have the biggest boner of all time. I don't care. Conceptually, I'm not upset with The Walking Dead. I'm not upset with the fact that they're saying, hey, look, we're going to attack Negan. We're going to take the fight to Negan. We're going to attack his outposts. We're going to ambush him. We're going to fucking bushwhack his guys. We're going to disrupt his supply. We're going to do Band of Brothers in the post-apocalyptic world. I would go, dude, that sounds amazing. And then when I watch it, I go, fuck. So I don't want to knock the idea. I'm more knocking the execution, and that's what bothers me so much. And that's just, they bit off a little more than they could chew, or they just don't care as much as I do about the things that bother me, because clearly they don't. Or maybe they do. I don't know. Maybe they have time budgets. I don't know. I don't know the fucking shooting schedule. I don't know any of that shit. I barely even know what the fuck that means. I am a monkey. I have no idea how to make a TV show. I'm a fucking ape. No
clue. I'm covered in shit. My diaper's overflowing. I am in a cage.
Yes, I think I know what a camera is, and I think I know what a boom mic is, okay? Like, I don't know how to make fucking movies. I talk about movies. I'm not an expert, not a film critic, definitely not a TV critic. I'm just talking about the shit that, to me, is the fucking problems. I feel like I know a little bit about how stories should work. I feel like I know a little bit about how I like to see this executed. Could I execute it that way? Probably not. But what bothers me is knowing that they have all this talent and all this money, and they can't, they just can't take it from the paper to the fucking TV. The translation is just not making it for me personally. Yeah, I just have it on the background now. I mean, like literally the ambushes are just like, man, even the way they shoot, these are dumb. Like they're hiding behind these crates and they're shooting everybody that run by, and they're shooting for a good 10 seconds and they cut and they keep cutting around that scene and people are still literally jogging. Like just dumb shit like that. Everyone would hit the ground, no? Just dumb shit. It's like there's so many little dumb things that drive me bonkers. And to me, when you start fucking up the details, it starts to really hurt. You know, one of the things we've said in anything that's good is that the details matter. The devil's in the details, yeah. Right? The details fucking matter. It makes the show better all around. It just does. Yeah. And when you're dropping the ball on that, yeah, it starts to pile up. And when you start to miss details, in my opinion, you're saying, I don't fucking care.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're the best show on TV, i.e. money-wise, when you have 18 Brinks trucks dumping money and fucking dime piece chicks into your mansion every week, you don't give a fuck about the little details, I guess. Or maybe these guys
maybe
don't.
Not.
But that's just my opinion, man. Look, I'm just a dickhead with a microphone and opinion, and a couple people want to listen to me. So I'm forced to speak honestly about how I feel about The Walking Dead, and it's unfortunate. But like I said, on paper, goddamn, I love this concept. Yeah. Now, some of the things on paper I don't love, I don't love that we are retreading the same ground for 8 fucking seasons, which is,
AKA,
kill them or keep them alive. Are we going to succumb to our monstrous nature, or are we going to be merciful? Like, this has been the fucking Walking Dead thing forever. Oh, the people are worse than the walkers. Is Morgan wrong or is Jesus wrong? Who's right and who's wrong? And the age-old question of, are we monsters or not? Are we killing people or are we not killing people? Right? I mean, what's your take on that part of all this?
I mean, yeah, that's pretty much it. It's got a little bit of a Dragon Ball Z complex of like, and a big bad's here. And it takes everything we got to come together and take him out. Finally, hooray, we got him. And a bigger, badder bad is here. And went Ross, rinse, repeat. And the surrounding circles around that are we as bad as the bad guy we're fighting? Because is it corrupting us?
Yes.
And it's like, it's a little bit. I mean, for one, there's a part of me that likes seeing, I am somebody who's just like, I'm pretty much over Jesus at this point. When he first was introduced to the show, I thought there was an interesting potential there for him to grow into something, be its kind of interesting ally. It's weird. He's a character who has gotten so much worse being put more front and center. Sure. Like there are times where they're like, I still think for one, this season hasn't done much with her. But I still think that Maggie is a character that's gotten in a lot of ways, not in every way, but in a lot of ways better as she's moved a little closer to the center of main characters. I think that's a character that I like more than the show does because they're not using her very much. Mm-hmm. That all said, Jesus is like the opposite. He's the character who's interesting on the periphery. When you see him every now and then, you're like, oh, what is this bandit guy up to out there who's kind of like kind of fucking quick and you can't keep up with him and who knows what he's up to? He's kind of mysterious. Then he gets into the center and you see him all the time with his like nightgown shirt on and he's fucking just, hey, I'm here all the time now. And you're like, you're more boring than I thought. I liked it when there was more mystery. I liked it when there was mystery. He just came and fucked me and left.
When I thought he was a rogue, he was cool. And now I'm just like, ugh, get out of my apartment, bro.
Karen in the chat, too. Jesus and his contacts need to go.
Yeah,
If Karen Lomas is saying it, man, that's you've got a real problem. If any part of The Walking Dead is losing Karen's support, that's the weakest element. You got to fucking chop that shit.
That's what I mean. So one of the things I was thinking a lot about, What's a show you like, Matt?
A show right now or just
any
show?
Pick a fucking show.
Handmaid's Tale.
Okay. So in Handmaid's Tale, mm-hmm. I haven't seen it and I don't remember the book. I'm sure I read it way back in the day. Right? I'm sure. Isn't that one we had to read in school?
It was a pretty big one. Yeah, pretty famous.
All right, so check this out. There are probably characters in that show that have goals that are not survival only.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, for
so
sure.
That's kind of a problem. Think about The Wire. Think about a guy like McNulty, or think about any of the other characters in that show. They always had shit going on externally as well as internally. And I think the problem with The Walking Dead is it's out of those ideas. It's, are we going to be merciful or are we going to be cruel? And then it's, are we going to survive or are we not going to survive? And is surviving enough? Hmm. Like thematically, what's left in the gas tank to talk about or to at least show?
Yeah.
Right? Now, I can't speak for Handmaid's Tale, but maybe you can. There's probably three characters in that show or four characters in that show that have varying goals on their own in addition to the other things.
What's interesting, that show as just a parallel like example is kind of an interesting one because that show's conflicts are almost entirely internal. There's obviously external overarching, you know, dystopian world, you know,
sure,
its expectations of you as an individual kind of conflicts. But the majority of the playing out of the show and its conflicts are in a single character's mind and how they're thinking about things and how they feel about things. It's much more internally focused. And I think I think in a way you're right as far as like, for one, you have a show that has a million characters. There's a ton of characters in The Walking Dead.
Because they don't kill them anymore.
Because they don't fucking chop them off no more. It's true. But we've reached a point where, and for one, I think it comes with the territory of the setting of, all right, you're going to go into post-apocalyptic zombie world. Well, the main thing for anybody in that world is just the, in a sense, boring daily struggle of surviving, of just like, where do I get my food? How do I get away from these fucking zombies? Where's a weapon to defend myself? I got to stay away from other bad people. That's watch and repeat there. Like those are the main conflicts in this world. And they have not quite successfully found a way to dig deeper than that.
Well, maybe I'm going to let them off the hook and say it's 8 seasons in, man. That might be just the problem. You're 8 seasons into this shit.
Yeah.
Dude. Fucking Captain Picard for 7 seasons explored strange new worlds and civilizations, and that shit got boring by the end of it. It's like, what else can they possibly do? I don't want it to sound like the show's never been good. That's disingenuous.
Totally.
I'm just saying, what is left in this show to talk about? How are they going to change it? What? I mean, go backwards, go forwards. We've talked about flash forwards before.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. You know, I'm not sure. I don't, you're definitely right about Maggie though. Maggie is somebody who is like, despite having a great hiney, she's not, it's weird. They treat her like she's fucking Nelson Mandela, right? Like Maggie will fucking know. Dude, this is not Nelson Mandela. She's not this amazing leader just because. We saw her literally when she was at Hilltop and Gregory was pissing his pants and being a scumbag. She was like, you guys, get up there and shoot guys. You guys go over there and shoot guys. And then she was nice to, what, Enid? So she's fucking Nelson Mandela now? Like, why is she such... Why is everyone like, Maggie will know? I don't understand why we're just supposed to assume that she's a great leader.
Great leader. Leader of our time and our people.
But why? If it is, then spend episodes on her development of her leadership. Not just, you guys go up there, shoot those guys over there. Guys, shut the gate, because when the gates open, the bad guys come. If you leave the gate open, the bad guys come through the gate. Oh my God, you're a brilliant leader. Mandela!
Like, what the free fuck? Him?
Come on.
You let him encourage Matt Damon in a game of rugby?
Invictus, nice. That was a deep pull.
That's a deep one. Ain't nobody seen that movie anymore.
That's awesome. But yeah, man, it's like, I don't know. Like, okay, Maggie's probably pretty decent, so spend some time on her. Make her a goddamn, right?
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, that's a character of so far wasted potential. Like, there's interesting tidbits there that you could very, you know, you could put together into a really compelling arc and storyline, but it's like, you just haven't, you haven't put enough time to it. You gotta dwell on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, in it sucks because they've already done everything they can do with Rick. And he's still great. Even in this dog shit Morales scene, which, dude, how does nobody in the writing room look at that dialogue and go, hey, guys, fuck you, you're fired! Like, dude, how does anyone... They're probably just like, fuck, I want to get fucking re-up next season. I ain't saying a word. But... Damn. You know, they all went out to fucking Starbucks afterwards and like, that Morales monologue, what the fuck? What was that?
Just shit with that one out. Good
Jesus
Lord.
Christ. Yeah, can I get a double macchiato pump with two spice things? Yeah, what a piece of shit. I didn't want to say anything, but Ralph was on one today. I mean, shit. We should say something. Do you want to say something to him? Do you want to say something to him Tuesday when we're at the next meeting? What do you want to do?
I don't know. Fuck. You know what, man? I think we're going to stick with keeping our heads down. We're going to turn in our pages. So we're just going to keep cashing these checks.
Bite down on the mouthpiece, bang your gloves together, and just wade in and hope you don't get dinged off the chin.
That's it. Shit. Dude, on that note, let's jump right into this Morales scene.
Go.
We can go ahead and summarize the beginning.
Ezekiel was like...
And here's another thing where a lot of it conceptually I like the charm of Ezekiel for me is this sword swinging. I'm going to embody this character so much. I'm going to fake it till I make it and be the one who inspires courage through kind of ridiculous bullshit. There is something kind of charming about that. I'm like, I do kind of still like that about him. But, you know, we still get some of our, timeless dialogue of these scoundrels and rogues. We must push back. We will have our victory. And they let themselves think, you know, they let the saviors think they got an ambush, and they pop up and shoot the rest of them.
And why are they filming it like this? Why are they getting so cute? It's real cutesy-wootsy, like the back and forth cutting.
The little...
I don't know. The up the ass cam, I call it.
I'm pinpointing the scene.
That's the one where the camera guy bends over and there's a camera up his ass and he's filming it. I don't know.
Wait, which part?
It's just the up the ass cam, I call it.
The up the ass cam.
Yes, it's like he's going to speechify and then they're going to show shooting and they're going to speechify. They have numbers. We have strategy. Really? Like you have your hands up? What? The Saviors didn't open fire on them? Yeah. Why? Because they take prisoners now? They didn't want to kill him because he's what? What did they call him?
The king.
The widow, the king, and the jerk off. They don't want to take those guys?
Yeah.
I guess.
Yep. They wanted to save the king. See, Dean, that's an answer to all your questions.
I guess. That's what we're going to do. They didn't kill the rest of the group.
Wave off this question.
They didn't kill the rest of the group.
No.
They didn't open fire on anybody. Why are the Saviors just not opening fire? And then they put their hands up and then they open fire. It's like the double fucking doubles. I don't know.
The double dabblers?
Duh. They have numbers. We have strategy.
We have strategy. Like hiding from them. Actually, I think what he's holding up in that scene is a radio that they got from one of the Saviors. And they're like listening in on the Saviors. So they kind of know where they're going to be ahead of time. And that's how they lay out this ambush. I guess.
You say so.
I guess.
All right. So here's
I'm reaching into my bag of bones and hurling them as hard as I can toward the fucking show. All right.
What are you, King Willie?
It's about the power.
All right. So more Morales bullshit. He says the following. I wrote this down. I was like a fucking stenographer. Is that what they call them? Those court people?
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
So you're the Rick from Alexandria. The whole time it was you. I know who you are. I saw it in the mirror through the open door. As soon as I saw, I knew you'd made the same trip as me.
No. You missed a line.
I took a bunch of lines out.
You missed a line that pierced my fucking ear like a dagger of dicks. Just like, oh, what? When he was like, and I saw, it ain't. Hold on. I'm. I gotta nail this. I gotta get it just like Morales. I gotta get it just like him. Hold on. I'm gonna
Acting.
Hold on. It's here it is. Hold on. I saw you through that door. And then it was I saw you through that door. And it wasn't any kind of blast from the past.
Oh man.
Fuck you, dude. Fuck you, no! No, you can't...
From here to there, shit, well, I guess we aren't the same guys we used to be, huh? You're a monster. I called them back. You're a prize, Rick. We don't kill you, the widow, or the king. Now, if we don't have to, you're always the willing to be the guy to rush in. But why? What is it you're looking for? Doesn't matter. Talking to myself here.
Was this writer who wrote the dialogue in the scene just trying to sneak in Brendan Fraser movie titles and as lines blast from the past? He's like, oh, you thought you bedazzled me, didn't you, Rick? You thought you fucking, you thought you mummied me.
I tell you what, Rick, right now, I got a lot to say to you, man. Blast from the past, did you get your glory days on when you saw me now and then? Huh? You think I'm an airhead? Huh? You think I'm just going to be your son-in-law from the school ties days?
I don't know if you ain't looked around much, Rick. We ain't living in no biodome.
You think I'm dumb like some sort of Encino man, Rick?
Oh, fuck.
Fucking shit. Oh, yeah.
So stupid. So, oh, I hated so, that so, line. Hated that.
Is Rick... The Wolverine? Is he Logan? Is he Weapon X?
I think the answer to that's yeah. I think he is.
He is. Actually, do you know why?
Why?
Because apparently Morales can't get Rick to lay down on his belly and tie him up. He has to call every savior. What?
Every fucking one of them.
What is he calling them all back for? Because we go from this scene, and it's the bad guys. What did I say last week? Maybe I should fall back into the brick building.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do they do this week? On Morales' orders? He commands troops?
Evidently, man. He's a bigwig now.
I guess. And he's like, guys, fall back in here. I got Rick. I'm going to need help hogtying him with all of you.
All of you.
Because Rick is just so dangerous, they need an entire platoon to tie him up.
I ain't no Dudley Do-Right.
Shit.
Fucking piece of shit line. I hate that line. I could excuse every other line if they just deleted that one. Fuck. Mm. That line's so bad.
I don't know. This Rick's a little dangerous.
Angry.
Rick kind of reminds me of George of the Jungle. Better get in here and help me tie him up and hope he's still breathing. The Twilight of the Gods, Mrs. Winterbourne, Kids in the Hall, Brain Candy, Now and Then, Fallen Angels. He just starts going down his list of movies.
not making them into the dialogue at all. He's
no,
like,
exactly.
I don't know. It makes me wonder if this is G.I. Joe, Rise of Cobra.
Give me shelter, Breakout Pawn Shop Chronicles, Rick.
Why are you just saying movie titles that Brendan Fraser was in?
Extraordinary Measures, Furry Vengeance Standoff.
That's so stupid.
And they're like, this is the writers turning in pages like a college kid who like, I copied and pasted the same paragraph 6 times in the middle of this essay. I'm just hoping they only read the beginning and the end. I hope they don't notice.
The Mummy returns, Rick Lang.
Then he gets shot in the neck.
Looney Tunes back in action.
Sinbad beyond the veil of mist.
Dickie Roberts, former child star.
Come on, die already. I'm Daryl. Come on, somebody kill this monkey bone.
Come on, somebody kill him. I'm Daryl. I got no voice this season.
Shit. Okay, so anyway, they fall back in. Eric dies. I don't care.
He wasn't in Biodome.
No, he was in Encino Man. It was Pauly Shore that's in Biodome.
I thought Pauly Shore's friend in Biodome was him though, but it was the fucking
name?
It was a bald one. Yeah. It was one of the shitty bald ones.
Yeah.
Actually they're all pretty shitty. As people is what
still
I mean.
Swimming in tens.
fuck, that's for sure.
Swimming in dens.
All right. So, well, I think that wraps up our coverage of Walking Dead.
Of Brendan Fraser.
Of Brendan, the Brendan Fraser Remembrance Hour.
Good Lord. Fuck. No, but so Eric dies. Do you care? He can't make pasta for their fucking living.
Like I said at the top of the show, I have no problem with Eric. It's not like I'm like, ah, fuck Eric. I'm like, ah, poor dude. I don't really know you at all, but poor dude. Sorry. I do feel for Aaron. Like, I do.
I think that's the whole point.
Exactly. Like, it did, the scene where he is watching, and we're jumping way to the end now, but the scene where he's watching Eric walk away, I actually liked the way they even shot that. It was like you could see him just kind of joining into a herd of zombies, and you still, and it leaves a kind of like painful wondering, you know, because that's one of the things that I feel like the show has maybe lost sight of a little bit, and we talked about this on Dawn of the Dead even, how tragic zombies are. It's such a tragic kind of monster. It's not like it's not like an alien or fucking crazy mutated creatures, you know, from another planet or whatever. Like, these are your friends and family and your loved ones, and they turn into a fucking thing that eats other people and kills them and wanders around looking like your loved one in a decayed, awful version. And one of the worst things about that kind of death is there's no closure. Like, he doesn't get to hold him in his arms and say goodbye. He doesn't get to bury him and have somewhere to return to memorialize him. It's like, no, like, you watch them walk away as a corpse to join other corpses in killing. And the worst part of the way about how Eric walks away is that Aaron still has that horrible, like, back of your mind, like, was it really him? Am I sure? Like, you didn't get to really close it and find out for sure. Like, it's like losing, you know what I mean? Like, that, it's that awful kind of, like, dream haunting thing you see of, like, they were walking away, but was that really them?
For sure, send Shot by Friend Scott out there to make sure, though.
Dude, fucking, I know.
Why doesn't he go out there and make, first of all, what if the guy's not dead and he's wandering out there because he's fucked up from a gunshot wound to the gut?
Right! Yeah. Oh,
what if he's alive?
Like, I had that thought of, like, what if he's still out there just, like, wounded and in a daze, and they're like, oh, he's a zombie, leave him. And I'm like,
3 days later, he's out there, like, fucking vultures pecking away on his guts.
Oh, shit. No, and I had the same thought too. I was like, his friend, it's like, dude, I would have been like,
shot by friend Scott.
Shot by friend Scott. I'm like, you sit down, Aaron. I will fucking go check. And if it is him, do you want me to take care of it, I will. Like, you just stay back. Like, stay back. I'll go deal with it. That's what you do. That's what a good person, a good friend in that situation does. Come on.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Poor Aaron.
Taryn Jesus. Let's talk about the prisoner train.
Batan Death March.
That's fucking, so fucked up.
This Batan, let's tie them up with twine Death March.
Jesus Christ. Off to the POW camp they go.
Off to you. Let's whack their legs with bamboo if they're not walking fast enough. Fuck.
Oh my God, that's so dark.
What I... There are, oh man, I know this is being presumptuous as shit, and I know in truth, I don't know shit, but there are one or two moments in this episode, earlier on, the one with Morales, and then there's a moment or two here where I swear to God, I could write you a better scene than what we have on film here. I'm like, I just let me make some changes, let me Ridley Scott or George Lucas this up a little bit, let me just fix it, I swear to God it'll be better. For one, in this scene, dude, all I wanted, and how perfectly in character and how much of a calling card for who Morgan is right now would this be, if in the moment where the guy, the piece of shit, I don't remember his name, the fucking
Jared.
Loser who... Jared. Fucking hate that name. This fucking asshole. But the moment where he's like whistling at him and he's like, oh, I figured out why you're wearing that little armor. It's that fucking kid I got killed. And he turns around and points the rifle at him. Here's my rewritten version.
Pink mist.
No, not even that. So Morgan turns around and he puts his rifle back over his shoulder. And the guy, and he's just looking at the guy, looking at Jared as he's walking. Jared's kind of like waiting for something to happen. Puts the rifle back over his shoulder, and then one fluid motion takes out a pistol and blows his fucking brains out right there. And Jesus is like,
pink mist.
Morgan! Yeah, Morgan! And without even replying to Jesus, Morgan takes out a knife. He fucking cuts the rope from the guy's hands and he ties the two guys, the guy in front of him, the guy behind him, together and says, keep walking. Everybody keep walking. And that's it. No more dialogue than that. And like Jesus is just left standing there like, like what do I do? And Morgan just keeps walking. Fuck the dialogue.
No, I think what we should do is have Jesus say, Maggie Mandela will know what to do with the prisoners.
She'll know.
She's an expert on prisoners. Yeah, she will, Tara says. She knows what they did.
Dude, I like Tara in this scene, though. I don't give a fuck.
Jared whistles. Playing. It's annoying. Why is he alive? Jesus, Morgan, here. They're bullshit in front of the prisoners, which is very dumb. That is such a pet peeve of mine.
Me too. I'm like, you are essentially the leadership in this whole operation. What are you doing displaying your vulnerabilities?
Dude, if
and your
I was Jared, I'd be like, this fucking group is fucking done. Dude, Negan is going to eat them for breakfast.
Dude, say what you want. So here's one thing. We've talked a little bit about this. We actually talked about this at length last season because it was much more Negan-focused really early on. But, like, as far as the leadership goes, like, yeah, at the end of the – and this is also why I kind of don't like at this point in the game the whole, well, are we any better than that? Like,
oh,
no, yes.
Fuck
you, yes,
please.
I would say yes, you are, because you're not a fucking authoritarian monster making people pledge to his name and putting irons to people's faces. Like, if we're gonna get into who's better morally, I can say with confidence you're at least better than that. That's fucking put that question to bed. That all said, though, when you want to talk about effective leadership, Negan's kind of got a beat on that one. You know what the kind of leadership Negan has? He has everybody pledged his fucking name. They say that they are him and they're willing to die for him. And you guys can't even agree on what the fuck to do with prisoners.
It's crazy.
What are you talking about?
It's fucking shambles.
It's shambles.
It's shambles.
Jesus needs to just fuck off and let Morgan lead the way on this one.
Yeah. Ugh. There's no clear chain of command. There's no contingency. Yeah. I complained about this last week. I don't need to go on about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, apparently they're on their way to Hilltop. Jared's literally in the frame listening to them argue, I wrote. Jesus
literally in the frame.
Literally
like
in the frame.
An asshole.
Jesus calls them people no matter what they've done. We don't execute. Morales still has a gun on Rick. Morales' family never made it to Birmingham. Rick is sorry. Morales ain't buying it. I have so much for this. Do we need it?
I say, you know what?
Okay,
yes.
I'm going to tell you. Rick tells Morales he lost his men too. He tells him about how Glenn was executed with a bat. Morales says, he had a wife in this. She's the widow. Oh, and you're Negan too. Morales, the saviors found him and through him found out he was worth a damn. Yeah, I'm Negan. Says he had to be something just like you. Morales does the look at us. We are two assholes that will do whatever we have to do to keep on going. Times 8 seasons. Morales says, if it was you holding a gun, I'd be dead. Well, I don't know.
That's the most true line in that scene, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's 100% true. He's like, dude, if you had a gun on me, you'd blow my brains out.
He keeps talking.
He keeps talking, though. There's
and
a couple.
Talking and talking and
dude,
talking.
The meat of this scene that they should have boiled down this dialogue to and not drug this out to be a whole section of the show is like, I do think it's interesting for them to recognize one another, for him to be like, for
a
the
second.
Fact of, yeah, the fact for his family not having make it should come out. The fact that people that he knows and remembers like Glenn and Andrea being dead should come out. But that, like, that's it. Like, that's the meat of it right there. That's the heart of it. The whole cute, I knew it was you stuff like that should
Jesus.
Lose that.
He should die in a car fire.
It's pretty fucking rough.
He calls him officer friendly. I know he, yeah. Daryl kills him. Thank God, Daryl.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd say this. Thank God Daryl was there for this.
I was going to say, man, I'm kind of pro Daryl at this moment in the scene.
I am like, definitely pro Daryl this week.
Daryl's like, fuck. Daryl is the character that I want Morgan to be with Jesus just out of the way. Of just like, fuck them. Fuck this. Fuck all of them. I beat their heads in with a pipe when I escaped their jail. Fuck these guys.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, of course. Of course. Karen knows this. Merle called him that back in the day. Officer friendly. Yay. It's all connected.
Good catch. Good catch, Karen.
Yeah,
Karen
cool.
Fucking eagle eye.
Yeah, I fucking Googled it.
Jesus. His Sorry. Laurels have become toxic.
Toxic laurels.
Resting on these toxic laurels.
Mm-hmm. Well, walkers. Is this Princess Bride, the Walking Dead version?
Yep.
Do you remember Princess Bride where they tumble down the hill?
Dude, you know what?
Dude, that's exactly what this is.
I fucking like it. I actually like it. I hate how they respond to it. I hate how they are like taken aback by it. I'm like, what the fuck's wrong? Like, just get ready. But I love the idea of there being so many walkers that they're like tumbling down the hill. Like, that's actually kind of, I like how, and they're fucking stupid, dumb zombie. Like, they couldn't keep their balance up down a hill like this. So I like that, but the way they respond to it and Morgan having such a hard time fending off one zombie for a second, I was like, oh, fuck this. Come on.
A bunch of saviors run off, which makes sense.
Hell yeah. That's a moment that I didn't have a problem with, man.
Morgan pursues them.
As far as the actual zombies of this scene and the action too,
they look amazing.
Good. It looks fucking fantastic.
This is something The Walking Dead has always done well. They look amazing. They've looked better every year. This is the strength of the show is gross zombies.
It's true, man. They do look real good and gross.
So Morgan executes a guy. And then Jesus stops him from killing Jared. Right?
And then we get
Don't you dare.
Bach 3.
Oh, God. No, we don't.
Good God.
I read an article that talked about how amazing this fight sequence was.
Are you sure you're not just trying to hate it, Dean? Are you sure?
Yeah. You going to take me through it?
Fuck no.
Take me through it.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
Why? I will not counterpoint you. I just want you, just wash over me, baby. Let me hear it.
Well, as annoying as I find Jesus, which I find him still super annoying in this scene, he has moments of, yes, he has a point, and I see where he's coming from.
Yes.
But what I want him to do is to give Morgan the leeway to kill the one dude he wants to kill, this fucking Jared guy. I'm like, that should just be done with. Fuck this guy. We know what he is. He's displayed himself. The rest of them all surrendered and chose to surrender, and this guy was fighting it.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, I don't know. Anyways, the one line from Jesus in the scene that I actually like, although I still am like, it's a little bit of an unbelievable line being delivered.
It never changes. Moment.
Huh?
It never changes, Morgan says.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I like Jesus pointing out the fact that it's like, after this is over, we're going to have to live with these people. There's going to be people out here who are on the other side, and we're going to have to find some way to get along. If you're just totally torturing and executing one another, you're just sowing revenge for forever and ever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
And
like, Maggie knows. She has a whole program laid out.
Maggie knows. She has an anti-bullying program.
She called up Nelson Mandela, and he fucking told her what's what.
Nelson Mandela's zombie, actually, in this.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then fucking Morgan shoves him away, and they start fighting after he Jesus gives him a nice, dirty little front kick to the chest, and then Morgan takes out his death poker.
Yeah.
And off they go.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
And the prisoners get away? Question mark?
They framed that really poorly.
Wait a second. You're telling me an action scene was staged poorly?
No. I'm talking about the background of the prisoners.
Yes,
what happened to them?
I know.
In that scene, I was like, wait, are the prisoners watching them fight? Like, what's happening? Where's everybody else?
I'd be running.
Oh, fuck yeah. But no, in that scene, you see Robin Hood woman, don't fucking know her name. She comes out and she's got like two other guys and they have guns on
prisoners.
Yeah, and they're like, Tara? Did she come with them?
They show up later, but I thought by that point, those guys were long gone. Like, if you watch the shot, that place looks gone. Like, they're fucking.
Oh, it's empty. Yeah, no, but before they even start fighting, before Jesus and Morgan actually start fighting, Robin Hood woman and two other of their guys, I'm looking at it now, come up and say to the prisoners, on your feet, let's go. And Morgan and Jesus are still arguing. They haven't started fighting yet.
Okay, so they took them away.
They took the prisoners back away. And now, which what I still find weird about that is, hey, these two seem like they're about to have a very heated, fucking violent disagreement. Let's just head out. Let's just go. Not be like, hey, you two, hold on. What the fuck's going on? Get it together. We're escorting prisoners on our Bataan Death March. Come on, we got to keep it up. Fucking schedules.
Right. We got a lot of executions to get through today. All right. That's fine. I'll give that a pass then. So more Zeke editing, speeches and shooting, ambushes, which are goofy.
Dude, I feel like, you know what I feel? I feel like a fucking school principal at just a miserably failing school that is like embezzling money and just a fucking disaster. And you're the fucking like district administrator coming down, give me a random check. And I'm like just pleading. And you're like, ah, I'll give that a pass.
you know what we need? You know what we need in this mostly black and Hispanic school? A white lady. To come in and teach our kids about fucking values.
Some white lady from four counties over who don't know shit about this place.
Saying prayers in the street lights. That's what we need.
Oh, fuck. God damn.
We need our version of Dangerous Minds. We need a fucking white lady savior to come
in. I'm literally like clearing my desk of cigarettes and whiskey into the drawers as I hear you're coming. I'm like, oh shit. Fuck. I gotta clean this place up. I gotta make it presentable, Matt.
That whiskey and cigarettes box you got, might as well put all your shit in it.
Ah, oh, shit!
You fucking fired.
But I told the students to stand and deliver. Look, isn't that enough?
Look, it's gonna be great. We're gonna bring in a white lady. She's gonna fix it up. It's gonna be great.
We're gonna go to school.
We're gonna get rid of all that urban music. You know, that corrupts the youth. I don't know. Anyway. Fuck. That is a funny fucking scenario you put in my head though. So I guess we'll talk about the best part of the episode. Daryl and Rick
fighting down the halls.
Best part.
Yeah, it's good.
Rick moves with some sort of lethal efficiency, at least.
Yeah, taking some cover. And for once, we're acknowledging ammo counts, at least in the sense of Daryl saying,
he changes his magazine. Yeah.
He changes his magazine, and then he actually fully runs out at one point, which I liked that kind of desperation of, hey, man, I don't have infinite ammo. Like, we're getting pinned down, and I ain't got nothing
else
to
fight. Hey, Daryl, we need one of them savior guns. They never run out.
One of Aaron's guns, for sure.
That's true.
Those are the guns right there.
This mag that's the length of a 30-round mag, surprise, it actually has 800 rounds in it.
Dude, a 30-round mag is gone so fast if you're, like, full auto.
So fast.
It's gone so fast.
And they do just hold it down.
Ow.
Nobody's doing 3-round bursts.
I know. Empty.
Done.
Well. Cut against Jesus and Morgan's fist fight. Jesus does karate. His hair is glorious. Rick shoots the extinguisher to get himself some cover. And he says, Daryl, we're by the... Oh, Aaron, we're by the elevator. The music in the Jesus fight is definitely better than the fight itself. Jesus wrestles Morgan's staff away, tosses it back to him just in time for Tara to show up. Morgan asks, what? Morgan gets the crazy Morgan countenance. I'm not right, but that doesn't make me wrong, he says.
I actually like that line.
I don't mind it. And then he says, I can't be part of this, and of course goes off to look for Eastman. I don't know.
I'm going to leave.
I'm going to clear my head. I don't mean clear like kill people. I'm going to clear my head.
All these dumb pussy-ass crackers. I'm done with this shit.
Do you want me to kill or not, goddamn crackers?
He sounds really...
First, you won't want me. I'm trying to come in here being nice, not killing people. And you say, Morgan, start killing people. And I say, well, all right, then I'll sharpen my stick up. And I'll fucking kill everybody. Morgan, stop killing people. What do you fucking honkers want? What the fuck? I'm going to go be in Blade Runner.
Y'all some wishy-washy motherfuckers.
Anyway, it's so stupid.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I'm out of here. I'm going back to the Mummy Returns.
Yeah.
Say Black Rage and I'll put a spear in your neck.
So let's go to Hilltop. Jesus Christ.
Fuck. All right, Hilltop.
So Gregory returns in Father G's stolen car. That's fucked up.
You know what music should be playing this entire from the moment the camera cuts to Gregory standing outside the Hilltop gates through the point where, you know, that scene, you know, cuts back away, it should just be the fucking Curb Your Enthusiasm theme music. It should just be Goofy Tin Goofer Boys, silly, sad song. I'm a big, dumb, doofus, idiot man. He's such a piece of shit. And this scene just hams it up, too. Like,
this one?
This is one of the... Yeah, man.
Come on, Maggie, give me 10 chances.
Oh, please, find your humanity. Gosh, I'm pissing and shitting all over myself. I got a diarrhea faucet just torn open.
Aggie acting mad is the most hilarious thing I've ever seen. It's so acting.
Acting.
Maggie. All right. Jesus shows up with prisoners. Okay. I don't care what fucking what's his name says. They let him in.
They end up letting him in. They let him in. Ugh. And that'll, you know, stepping aside for a second. And I, you know, I don't know what the answer to this is or what you should actually do, because we're looking at all of this through the context of The Walking Dead. It's fucking, we know there's silly shit that happens. There's fucking zombies. The gunplay's silly. But at the end of the day, the idea of you being in charge of a camp of people and you're at war with a different camp of people and you've lost some people you care about, you're in the midst of fighting and killing, and then they bring back a whole bunch of unarmed guys and, hey, we captured a bunch of them. Here, what do you want to do with them? And some people are literally going, yeah, I think we should just kill them all right now. We should just fucking put them down on their knees, walk through them, putting bullets in everybody's head, these unarmed people we have tied up. That doesn't feel good. Like, that's not a awesome thing that you would want to give orders to. It's like, I want to stop and give that a little bit of weight, because I think it gets lost in the way the show doesn't. It tries.
Here's
to give
the good
it
news.
Weight.
I think it's going to be a thing next episode.
Wait, what do you mean?
What you're saying? Like, you're saying let's not lose the details of the implications of having all these prisoners here, because it is definitely a great source of conflict, and I think we're going to see it for Maggie.
Right. Right. And that's like, I do really
that's
hope
that's kind
that
of interesting.
That's, yeah. And it's interesting. Like,
and guess what, guys? Doesn't require shell casings or fucking weapons play, right? I can be a nice guy again.
And that, I mean, that's like some good Star Trek Next Generation kind of like, what will you as the leader do in this situation? What is your call? Make the hard call. Like, mm-hmm. That's a cool possible storyline, but like I definitely, it's one of those things where we give it a lot of shit and we'd be real silly about it, but I don't want to lose sight of, like, that is a gnarly thing, you know, your hands on the actual trigger and you're like, all right, this is, we're not talking about shooting guys in combat who are trying to kill you, you're talking about a guy fucking on his knees pleading for you not to kill him and you're just gonna fucking waste him. It's like, that's pretty dark. Like, that's a pretty bad place to be. Mm-hmm. And it would be not easy to just give the order of, like, ah, yeah, well, you know what? This is kind of, you know what? This Bataan Death March is taking a while and I'm hungry. Let's just kill all these people. Like, nobody gives that order with that much ease. Like, come on.
Of course.
I don't want to lose sight of that.
Yep. I don't disagree with you.
But where are we now?
That's it. Well, lots of walkers eating people. Rick and company cleaning up the place. You know, they clean up the dead. Rick's been taking a lot of Polaroids this season. We haven't really talked about that.
Yeah. Like, what are those going to be for, I guess?
Don't know.
I mean, I don't think he's taking them home to look at and beat off to. Like, it's not like he's like,
yeah. The last time I saw this was Negan did this. He took Polaroids of dead people.
Yeah, or Negan's people did, yeah.
Or Negan's people did. The Eric death, we already talked about that. Yeah. Tobin's fine. He's got a rag around his 7.62 round wound. He's good.
I only have an exit wound the size of my hand, but that's fine.
I'm all right.
I'm all right. I'm a little tired.
I'm too dumb to feel pain.
Do I get to meet the president and drink chair wine?
Rick talks this guy Todd out of his cover. They ask him about the M2 Brownings. It's in another outpost, Gavin's. It's west of here. Daryl shoots Todd and then asks, without missing a beat, which team is at Gavin's? I like that scene. I like Daryl's behavior here.
It's a strong scene. I actually like this a lot.
Mm-hmm. Time is of the essence. Sorry, Todd.
that too. And I like seeing Rick being conflicted again a little bit about, like, I am kind of the leader in this situation. And I like how Daryl kind of usurps him, just takes action, just does it. And that's that. where and you can tell that it bothers Rick mm-hmm. a lot, but you can also tell that Rick has no answer to it. He's not like, we shouldn't have done that. He's like, well, maybe we should have. I don't know. Like,
no, he doesn't moralize.
No, like
he's
I like
just
that
taken aback.
He's taken aback, and he's just kind of like, I guess that's how it is then. All right,
I appreciate the response. Again, this the Daryl and the Daryl. Oh, fuck, I can't even believe I'm saying the Daryl stuff was good. The Daryl and Rick stuff was good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Let's talk about Zeke getting ambushed from a tower by M2 Brownings.
Boy, oh boy. Bad fucking spot to be in for Zeke. real life, fucking dead. That is it. Sorry, bud. But we have a little more of the positivity. It's a goofy line, but I do like the line of, you know, we will earn our second victory and our second victory will deliver our third. Like, I do like him being unswervingly positive and like waving the saber. I'm like, somebody's got to do that he's doing it in an almost cartoonish way, which makes you want to roll your eyes. But I'm like, that's kind of what has to be done in a sense.
And the M2 Browning or Browning 50 caliber machine gun, heavy machine gun, gets its design similar to the Browning's M1919 Browning machine gun, which is chambered with a 30-06 round. Goddamn. They call her Ma Deuce. There you go.
My Deuce.
Boy. Yikes. Fuck.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I encourage, and I'm like, we could talk all day, and again, I think we have to emphasize, neither me or Dean have ever, you know, been in the military or in the police force or anything. You know, we know stuff from years of being interested in it and looking into it. But if anybody out there isn't aware, like, we don't have to go on to some long tirade about fucking ballistics or the particularities of a gun. Just Google image of a 50 caliber shell and what that looks like, just the size of it, like find a 1-to-1 scale image of what that looks like. And if you really want to go down the rabbit hole, you can find some live combat videos that are out there in the world of what a 50 caliber does to people. And it's pretty awful. And guess what? The spongy, doughy body of two guys in front of you taking it is not going to help. You might, instead of being cut in half, merely have a chunk taken out of you. And that's about as good as it's going to get.
If you get a minute, take a look at FPS Russia on YouTube.
Good Lord.
That guy demonstrates some crazy fucking guns. I heard he got raided or something. But he's got a Dragon 50 cal explosive ammo round clip on YouTube. Jeez. And he's Russian. Or he pretends to be, and his fucking accent's hilarious. It's definitely worth watching. Yeah. He's got a 40mm demonstration, too.
Oh, holy
hell. Like, sitting in it.
So how does he have that gun?
Don't know.
Is it just the wild, wild west in Russia? Just buck wild everywhere?
I don't think he's in Russia. That's the thing that's funny about it. But yeah, it's the one from fucking Private Ryan. It's so gross. Oof. Anyway. Yeah, so I appreciate it. Well, a little bit different sound on the M2. That was nice. I was like, oh boy, they're fucked.
You guys are fucked.
And the guy dives. I saw blood flying everywhere, and they all kind of dive on the
to
king.
The show's credit, those are some nasty looking hits on those guys who
it's true.
Hit.
But, oh yeah, they give the baby to Eric. Let's not forget about
that's
that.
Right. And see, and that's again, that's a moment I did really like. I'm glad you caught that. I would have forgotten it, but I like that. That was a moment, again, I think that speaks. This is why I think I liked Aaron's scenes in this episode. They all actually kind of speak to his character. As a lot of other times, like, the show is just kind of like what we talked about. It's the conflicts of the characters are totally, we're talking about them, but they're externally based conflicts of like, oh, what are you bad? Are you good? Are you just going to kill me? Or are you not going to kill me? That's all just about what are you going to do? What is the action you're going to take or whatever? Whereas Aaron just being the volunteer of like, I want to do this. I want to do this for someone else. Like, even in the face of losing someone he cares about a lot, which it's a horrible personal loss that happened all of 10 minutes ago. He wants to do something good for someone else, to protect a baby and to take it to somebody he cares about, you know, being, you know, Maggie, and take it home. Like, I just like that that's the first thing he does. And there, you can tell they're all looking at him like, shit, man, are you sure? You sure you want to take on, even though it's a quote-unquote easy mission, like, you want to take on anything right now? Are you sure you don't want to just fucking sit down somewhere? And he kind of insists, like, he wants to still have purpose, wants to be contributing in this kind of, like, good-hearted way. And I love that about him, man. I like his character, and he's another character I think we need to see more of.
Agreed. I agree with that. Yep. The chat's asked me, it's FPS Russian, I believe, or FPS Russia, those videos. Not real Russian, by the way. Just has a cool accent, a fake accent, but it's cool.
It is a quasi-Russian.
I blow shit up. It's very nice. Cool, man. So, yeah, man, they open up with the M2s. They weren't going to kill him anyway. Isn't that the order? Don't kill the king?
Yeah, evidently. Unless they
evidently.
That's so true. The king, the widow, and the... What the fuck do they call Rick again?
I don't know. Unless, of course, you're in a tower with an M2, then go ahead and kill him.
Just waste him. Waste all of them.
Just fucking get rid of him. Yeah.
Jesus.
So that's the ep.
There we are. There
it's over.
We are.
It's done. Dunskies. Got any fucking final thoughts?
You gonna
get those test scores up next semester?
I guess I'm gonna try. I got my fucking dingy suit on, my loose tie, my fucking cigarette reeking fucking shirt.
You smell of cigarettes and desperation.
Oh, I'm trying.
I can't turn chicken shit into chicken salad.
There's, like I said, I still am pretty middle of the road of this episode. It's got maybe a little more bad than good, but it's got the good that's here. I do really like. I am glad that they're still staying on target as far as battles. Like, battles are happening. I'm not saying the quality of the battles. That's a different thing altogether. But battles are happening. We're in the midst of all of this still going on. They're moving forward. They're attacking more places. We're watching the war actually unfold. There's not big pauses. Like, I like the fact that we're not getting, I don't know, a fucking scene of Enid asking Maggie about what it's like to be in love for 30 minutes as they cook cookies at the fucking hilltop or some crap. Like, that, hey, thank you, show. Thank you, Walking Dead. I'm on board with not sitting around with all that and just staying in it on the front, on the war front. So that, I want them to keep it up, and I fucking hope they just tidy up some of the gun battle shit and focus. Like, I want Maggie to start doing some shit again. Yeah, she was
ain't done
pregnant
shit.
And she fucking, it's this and that. Let her do something interesting other than deciding to let Gregory in a door. Okay.
y'all close those doors. The walkers are coming in. See my leadership?
Maggie, she's really come up in the world. She's a primary goalkeeper at Hilltop. You know, she decides when they let stuff in or let it out.
She is definitely a primo fucking on the singles list, too. I mean, now the pizza boy's out of the fucking picture.
Pizza boy. And she's still pregnant. She's still pregnant.
Apparently.
Like, can we just... like, when is the miscarriage going to happen? That's all I'm saying. Like, it's going to happen. They teased it happening at the fucking beginning of last season. And then it didn't, and it's a miracle, but come on.
Maybe it's just a con job, so everyone feels bad for her.
Oh.
Goodness. One of those chicks.
Wow, you know, it's been 7 months, and you're not really showing.
My baby's real small. Don't judge him. Glenn was a small, small man with delicate hands.
Oh, fuck, it's their due date, and she moved away. And nobody knows where. Weird.
Whatever.
Is that your final word?
Yeah. You guys want my final thoughts? Here they are.
Is that it? I thought that was it.
Yeah. Here they are. Ready? Whatever. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning into another episode of the Walking Dead podcast by LSG Media. If you like what you heard, remember to share the episode with friends. Get us out there. Get our name out there. Help us out. And you know what? Check out LibertyStreetGeek.net. We got all kinds of podcasts over there. Plenty to listen to. Science fiction, film, Game of Thrones, True Detective, and more. All right. We'll see you next time.